In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I often begin a sermon in chapel with a complaint about the deans giving me the toughest text of the week or the month, but he's not only given me good pericopes this time, he's given me December 7th. And there are at least three good sermons in just the date. But I was thinking, however, that I should start the sermon perhaps by saying something like this. Today's service is really good practice for Christmas. We got gifts galore. Look at all these presents right up here in front, wrapped in rather different wrappings, but all containing that same good gift, servants of the word of the Lord. We have, I've noted these sermons before, the preacher always does his math, we have 375 years of service sitting here. To say nothing of Professor Nagel's 80 years of baptized reveling in the gifts of God. Norman is, well, if he's not given us a new definition of the word gift, at least he's given us a much deeper sense of its significance. So often we ignore the fact that when Paul talks about what we now call spiritual gifts, he will talk about the abilities that God has given us as our Creator, abilities that then the Spirit takes in hand to use as instruments of delivering the gospel to people. But in Ephesians 4, at least, he talks about the people themselves whom the Spirit gives. There it's apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And so this morning we celebrate these gifts of God, these men called to that gift of God that the pastoral ministry is, these men ordained and set aside for special service among the people of God. That's, of course, not all one has to think about when one preaches on December 7th, though it's a little hard to work in some reference to today as a day of infamy. Some of you don't even know what that phrase means, I suppose, anymore, but 64 years ago today, there was a sneak attack on the U.S. Naval Installation at Pearl Harbor, and 2,400 sailors lost their lives. And on that evening, President Roosevelt addressed the nation and said, "This is a day that shall live in infamy." That doesn't seem to have much to do with celebrating God's gifts of these good teachers of ours. But in fact, today, December 7th, 2005, is a day of infamy. For you, and for me, and for them. Because today we've already started to pull off sneak attacks on God's lordship over us. And sometimes inadvertently, sometimes with intention, we will continue that probably on and off through this day once again. So today is for us a day in which we need to seek protection from the consuming wrath, the fire of the anger of a God who loves us too much to let us continue to get away with these sneak attacks on his lordship and his love. Frankly, our confidence, our trust in the God who has loved us so much that he gave his life for us prevents us sometimes from feeling the terror that Professor Schmidt talked about yesterday. But at least we must be prepared again this day to acknowledge that we have every reason to stand in terror before our God. And these gifts of God whose ministries we celebrate today have been aware of that, I am certain. Throughout their ministries, they have been aware of their own sinfulness and shortcomings, but they have been also aware that God's plan for them is not a plan of wrath and fire, but a plan that substitutes his goodness for our evil And in that confidence, they have functioned as God's good gifts for us. Indeed, our lessons for today remind us that the final day of infamy will be turned into a day on which we, whom God has chosen to be his own children, we won't feel the oven-like burning that destroys. We who cling to his name will find healing and warmth and peace in the Son of Righteousness. Warmed and energized by the beaming love of our Father as we have experienced it in his righteous Son, Jesus Christ. You know, every English preacher that works with Malachi here has to do something with the relationship between the S-U-N and the S-O-N, but I don't have time to do that. You'll have to do that yourself. Warmed and energized by the beaming love of our Father as we have experienced it in his Son, Jesus Christ, we break out of the infamy of our own sinfulness and go dancing into God's world and God's presence like a calf just been freed from the stall, experimenting with the new legs that still have to find equilibrium and stability, but with the sense that we know that somebody will pick us up if in the middle of our dance we fall down. For God's shalom lets us really kick up our heels. Commentators like to point out that the last word of the Old Testament, the last phrase of the Old Testament, talks about the curse that God lays on the land. But actually, that little word lest turns it all around. God has sent his Elijahs, all Elijah's successors, to proclaim the word that frees us from the curse, that establishes what the writer to the Hebrews called an unshakable kingdom, stability and equilibrium that for us will last forever. We have not yet entered into that period that our Lord talks about, a period of active persecution and tribulation, though I suppose all of us who have served the Lord in the pastoral ministry think that we've experienced something of it. But I know people who really have, on trains to Siberia and the like. But we are confident that even if we do live, and I suspect we might, even if we do live to see those days of tribulation coming into our world, we can be confident that the Lord has a plan for us, that he has chosen us, that he will sustain us, and he will also sustain us through the gift of those pastors and those teachers whom he gives to help his church. Today is December 7th, and my little calendar says that this is the day of St. Ambrose, and we could do a whole sermon on St. Ambrose. He stood up to the emperor himself to proclaim the word of the Lord, but you can look up St. Ambrose in a good textbook and find out about that yourself. I'd like to say more about the founders of this seminary. They would simply not believe all of us assembled here today to hear the word of the Lord and to receive the body and blood of our Lord. They wouldn't believe that their little log cabin has grown to a campus of this size. And they would celebrate the gifts of God that we have in these buildings, this place, but above all in this community. And so this morning we join these brothers and their wives who have played an important part in their ministries and dare not be forgotten as we celebrate this day. As we join them in celebrating the gift of the pastoral ministry itself, for the calling of being an instructor in the faith, a former of the future servants of God in this place, we join them in thanking God for the privileges that go with this gift of serving, which is God's special tool for setting aside his own wrath, for executing his election of his chosen people, of bringing the forgiveness of sins and thus new life and salvation to the people of God. I remember once in two successive days in Lutheran confessions, saying on one day, "Oh, I envy you. I wish I could be preparing to serve in a parish once again." And on the next day, I said, "You know, if you guys knew what you were getting yourselves into, you'd find a job selling shoes yet this afternoon." And immediately the hands went up, and, "Well, which is it really?" And it is both. But it is above all that deep satisfaction that comes after the turmoil and tribulation of accompanying the people of God through the trials of this life. And so we celebrate today. We celebrate these gifts of God, and we give thanks for these people who follow in the train of Elijah and John the Baptist and Ambrose and Martin Luther and C.F.W. Walther and his colleagues in Perry County. We give thanks for the privilege of being able to follow in the train of Norman Nagel and Arthur Grauden and all those who have taught us and who still accompany us as we prepare for ministry, as we carry on our ministries. All of them, believe it or not, are gifts of God, delivering the gifts of God, for whom we give thanks. On this day, the Wednesday of the second week of Advent, in our Lord's year 2005. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.